Sponsorship of this KQED podcast is provided by San Jose State University Doctoral Program in Educational Leadership, a new professional degree program offered for leaders in education. Accepting applications at sjsu.edu/edd.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Over the weekend, an e-cigarette ban went into effect in Los Angeles bars, restaurants, beaches, and other public places. The LA City Council joined a growing number of municipal governments concerned about the potential health effects. But Darren Gold of the LA Vapors Club says smokeless cigarettes should be seen as a relatively healthier alternative.
A lot of people who might have considered switching to electronic cigarettes might be apprehensive now because they'll think, oh, if all the cities are banning these things, then they must not be any better, so I'll just stick with my cigarettes, which is going to kill more people.
Unlike bans in other cities, LA's new rules will allow vaping in e-cigarette shops and lounges and for film and theater production. A proposal to block online sales of e-cigarettes in California is working its way through the state legislature. There has been much debate about what impact the Affordable Care Act will have on the economy in the long term, but already many people are taking advantage of newfound freedom to change or even quit jobs. From KPCC, Stephanie O'Neill has more.
It's midday in Long Beach, and Mike Smith is standing over his kitchen stove preparing a sizzling dish of bright green Brussels sprouts and caramelized shallots straight from the pages of Bon Appetit.
We've got organic shallots, organic Brussels sprouts, and organic apple cider vinegar. I love the smell of the shallots, don't you?
The sweet scent of this gourmet veggie dish lingers as Smith and his wife, Laura, share their leisurely lunch with a visitor. Afterwards, Smith strums a folk tune on his acoustic guitar. Until last year, Smith, now 64, had little time to practice guitar, to experiment in the kitchen, or to visit elderly in-laws and a young grandchild. Instead, he worked 11 hours a day, Monday through Friday, and then half a day on Saturday as a district manager for a national auto parts chain. Early retirement, while certainly appealing, wasn't a viable option, as both he and his wife relied heavily on his job-provided health insurance.
At our age, and both with some pre-existing medical conditions, it would have been very costly to buy insurance on the open market. I think about $3,000 a month is what it would have cost us.
But the Affordable Care Act changed all that. The Smiths are now enrolled in a private subsidized health insurance policy that costs them only $200 a month. And it's not only aspiring early retirees who are benefiting from the federal law. Dylan Roby is with the UCLA Center for Health Policy Research.
We used to see people who had pre-existing conditions or high healthcare needs unable to leave a job they didn't like and go start their own small business because they were afraid that if they went to try to buy insurance on their own, an insurance company would reject them. And now that can't happen.
That's because the ACA bars insurance companies from either denying coverage or charging higher rates to folks with pre-existing conditions. And that policy shift has rocked Rebecca Murray's world.
My husband and I are both 31 years old. We have a 20-month-old daughter, and we found out about 3 weeks ago that we're expecting our second child.
Murray, who's from Chicago, says last year her husband, a freelance IT worker, was diagnosed with chronic spinal arthritis. He needed good health insurance, and he got it through Murray's job as a social worker for a dialysis corporation. But she despised her job because she felt she had to compromise her values and her ethics to work there.
I realized that life can't keep going on this way. I started thinking about, how can the Affordable Care Act help?
Murray says until Obamacare took effect, she and her husband couldn't get insurance on the open market because of his pre-existing condition. But under the federal health law, they now qualify for a subsidized policy that costs them a little more than $500 a month for the whole family. And that, Murray says, allowed her to quit her job and launch an online business to help young women like her take care of sick loved ones.
This really is allowing me to finally step into what I feel is truly satisfying for the soul. This time last year, I was convinced I would be a renal social worker for the next 30-something years. And, I'll just raise my kids and hope that they can live out their dreams instead.
UCLA's Dylan Roby says until now, it's been too hard for many to embrace their entrepreneurial dreams.
For a country that kind of values this idea of innovation and small business, we actually fall far behind lots of European countries in terms of our ability to allow people to do their own thing.
One recent study by Georgetown University and the Urban Institute predicts the Affordable Care Act will help up to 1.5 million Americans leave unfulfilling jobs and become self-employed or start new businesses. That runs counter to claims by the law's critics, who contend the ACA will cripple America's small business economy. Roby, meanwhile, predicts the health law will also give others the freedom to leave marriages they stayed in solely to maintain insurance coverage, as well as allowing Americans, like the Smiths of Long Beach, to retire early so they can pursue the simple pleasures in life. For the California Report, I'm Stephanie O'Neill in Los Angeles.
And now here's another in our occasional series on people who volunteer in California called The Giving State. Today, we meet a retired engineer from Saratoga who gives tours at the Computer History Museum in Mountain View.
My name's Alan Rosenzweig, and I'm a volunteer docent here at the Computer History Museum. I like history, and so I wanted to really learn about the history of computers.
I'll be telling you the story of the machine, about its inventor, how it came to get finally built, how it works, et cetera, et cetera.
Lay people that have no other interest in electronics or computers think that this is a fascinating place because everybody's using something now, right? They got smartphones and computers at home. And they do have a curiosity about where all this came from.
So let's watch everything happen now as Mike cranks the machine.
The Babbage machine is like 7 feet high, 11 feet long. It's got 8,000 parts, many of them that move. Looking at it, it's like a sculpture. It's just beautiful. You're giving the public something that they came to get, and they're getting it is also very satisfying, especially if sometimes they shake your hand and say, great, I really enjoyed it. That's all I need. That's great for me.
Alan Rosenzweig was interviewed by our former intern, Christine Hsu. You can listen to this profile again and hear others online at californiareport.org/givingstate. And that's the California Report for Monday, April 21st, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org. Stanford Children's Health, bringing innovative care to kids throughout the Bay Area. Learn more at stanfordchildrens.org. And the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995.